Good morning. Days like today are weird because I don't know if I just feel something different because we're doing something different or if the spirit's stirring, and I'm going to vote for the latter because that gets me more excited. If you've not been tracking with us recently, we're doing things a little bit different today. If this is your first time here today, this is what we do every week. No. I just have a couple of little pieces of information that I want to share, and then I'm going to release us as the body of Christ to go and pray through our campus and listen for what God might want to say to us today. So, what we're going to talk about today, this season, this is what's on my heart. So personally for me and then for our church, I am caught up in this verse in Luke chapter 11, where the disciples come to Jesus and they say, "Lord, teach us to pray." I'm a guy who, I'm lucky to have been discipled by people who valued prayer and had prayer at the center. I'm one of those people that God has repeatedly thrown into places where prayer is at the center. I love prayer. I love trying to motivate people to pray, but I'm in this season again where I'm looking going, "God, teach me to pray. Teach me to pray." So I want to start by saying, if you were here on Thursday for our Pray First Thursday gathering, some of this is going to be a repeat. So gold star for you for turning up. So one of the things we've started to do, our leadership team in this season, as we're on this precipice place, we're working through Joshua, and partly why is because we see in the book of Joshua where we're at as a church. And so in Joshua, they've crossed over into the promised land. That was us moving from unaccredited with our denomination back into right standing with our denomination. And we're here in the promised land with all of the promise of God before us. And God is saying, it's time to take the land. It's time to walk into the promises that we have for you. So as a team, we've been doing a lot over this season to try and discern and listen to God for what he wants to do. And our feeling in this season is we need to broaden the circle that is discerning what God wants to do. So we meet as a leadership team every Thursday evening. And so the first Thursday of the month is an invite to you to jump on Zoom with us just for 1 hour. There's some reflection and some discussion and then a time to pray and to listen and to see what God wants to do. So thank you to everyone that showed up on Thursday. I left that call giddy because I feel this cry of my heart, "Lord, teach us to pray." And I felt in that call a corporate cry, "God, teach us to pray." And we listened and God moved and he stirred and he encouraged. And so we're broadening that out today. "Lord, teach us to pray." So join us and put Thursday, grab your phone. You have permission to pull your phone out right now. Grab your phone, go to your calendar, find the first Thursday of the month and put in a repeating thing that says, "Pray first Thursday of every month at 7 p.m. And join in. You don't have to be there every week, but come when you can. We want to pray and join with you in that. "Lord, teach us to pray." I don't know where you're at in your journey with prayer, but let's just see by way of hands. Is there anyone in the room that feels like they've mastered prayer? Right, you've got it down. Good, okay. So we're all in a place where we can cry this together, right? "Lord, teach us to pray." I think of verses, I pray these every Sunday as we gather before the service to intercede for the service and the city around us. Some of the things that come to mind all the time that make me go, "Lord, teach us to pray." I think about James chapter 4. James says, "You do not have because you do not ask." And then when you do ask, you're all over the place, and so God doesn't give you what you're looking for. We don't have because we don't ask. There are things that we are all longing for that we need to ask him for, and maybe we are asking for things and we're not seeing what we're looking for, so "Lord, teach us to pray." I think of verses like Ephesians 6, where it tells us, the battle that we wage is not against flesh and blood, but it's against powers and principalities in the heavenlies. Like this declaration of a spiritual war that we live in the middle of, and at times it feels like the enemy is winning, but scripture tells us that Jesus was victorious. So if the battle we're fighting is not against flesh and blood, Jesus, we need you to show us what it looks like to lift our eyes off of the flesh and blood issues that we see and onto the powers and principalities that lie behind it. And then, I don't know about you, but I spend half my time going, God, I know there's something there. I'm not sure how to get rid of it. Right? How do you tackle a territorial spirit that's blinding people in Hillsborough? Lord, teach us to pray. Right? Teach us to pray. I think about all the scriptures that talk about healing. And I've had lots of conversations with people in the church recently, especially elderly members of our church. And here's my wrestle. I see a promise in scripture for healing, and I see that God says we come to the elders, have them anoint you with oil and pray, and there's healing gets poured out. So on one hand, you've got healing. On the other hand, you've got life in a fallen world where aging usually means your body starts to fall apart. So what's our role in the church in helping walk people into aging? And what's our role to say, God, you can heal people so in their old age they still have the freedom to do all that they want to do? Lord, teach us to pray. I've got friends and family that are not walking with Jesus. Scripture says God doesn't want anyone to perish. I want to see my friends, my neighbors come to faith. How do I call the power of God to move in their lives? Lord, teach us to pray. And then where we're at right now is a church. We've got all these buildings. So again, if you don't know our story, this church has been here for 50 years. 27-ish years ago, they broke ground on these buildings. Maybe 28, 29 years ago. I'm looking at someone that can give me anxiety. So anyway, a chunk of time, almost 3 decades ago, they started work on those buildings. It caused a big problem in the church. People left. This building sat incomplete for almost 20 years while the church was holed up in those 3 buildings. And what that did to the church was put us in a place where we're financially struggling. We didn't have the people power to do what we needed. And so some person with a business head on their shoulders, probably seeking God in the process, was like, let's rent out some space, make some money that will help us pay off the building. And so they rented 17 years ago to City View Charter School, and they started in 1 building, and they moved to 2 buildings, and they moved to 3 buildings. And while that was wonderful for us and has kept the church alive, it hamstrung our church because we have this beautiful campus and didn't have access to it to use it. I joined 4 years ago in the middle of COVID, where it was like, you can't come in our building and we can't go in your building because we're all going to die. And so in my tenure here, we've barely had access to these buildings. And as of the end of last month, City View moved out. They have an amazing facility in the city, which we went and we viewed, and it's just amazing. But now here we are with this whole campus. For the first time in the life of this church, we have access to everything here to say to God, what do you want us to do? Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to hear your voice. Teach us to discern what you would have for us. Prayer is, as I was thinking about this, prayer is, like, it's an infinite playground. That's the image I've got in my head. It's a playground that's infinite. There's so much you can learn, so much you can do, so many places that God invites us to pray. In prayer, you may have thought of this before. I hats off to Richard Foster for this image. But Father, Son, and Spirit have existed for all eternity in a conversation, in a relationship. Out of that relationship, they said, let there be light, and they created all the world that we're in. And God continues to have this divine conversation. If the 3 beings are one, then it's a monologue. If the 3 beings are also 3, then it's a dialogue. So it's somewhere between a divine monologue and a divine dialogue happening in the Godhead. When God invites us to pray, the Spirit in us prays through our mouth. Jesus receives our prayer and intercedes for it to be heard. God listens to our prayer, moves in response to it. So in prayer, we are being invited into a divine monologue or a divine dialogue to participate in what God wants to do in the world. If that's the case, if you have the ability right now, by turning your heart toward him, to participate in divine monologue, God, teach us to pray. Scripture makes it really clear. We talk about this a lot. Prayer accesses the throne room of God and moves his hand to pour his power over creation. If we as the church have access to the power of God, and there are scriptures that say things like, when we gather together, we have the ability to bind on earth things that have been bound in heaven, and loose on earth things that have been loosed in heaven. If we have the ability to bind the enemy in the work that he's doing and loose the power of God in the world, then God, teach us to pray. I'm hoping I'm not the only one that's like, God, I want this. I want more intimacy with you. I want more freedom in our lives. I want more power in our church. I want more healing. I want more salvations. I want to hear your voice clearer. If you manifest your presence, I want to see it. If you're going to transform people, I want it. So, Lord, teach me to pray. This verse is in Luke chapter 11. One of the things that I find interesting about this, we are more captivated, and I've spent more time in history, with the content of the prayer that Jesus gives us than about the request that invited it in the first place. And we like Matthew's version of the prayer better because it's got more words in it. But we know this prayer, right? When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Lead us not into temptation. We can be really guilty of saying, you know, Jesus gave us a prayer, so that's it. We've got it. Just pray that prayer, we're golden. Now, that is right. We've got this prayer. If you pray this every day, it will change your life and the lives of people around about you. But it came in response to a question. What might happen if every day we came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray? What if he's got guides like this for us every day to shape the way we pray individually and in a church? They have been with Jesus. They've watched him work miracles. They've watched him confront the Pharisees. They've seen his intimacy with the Father. They've heard him quoting scriptures. They're seeing Jesus up and personal. So I want you to think through all that you see in the Gospels. What's the thing that you're like, I want that? Jesus, you do that thing. I want it. The disciples see all that, and it's not I want that. They say, Lord, teach us to pray. Because they understand that this is the heartbeat behind everything else that God wants to do. This should be our heart posture. This should be the deepest desire of our being. This should be our corporate desire as a church. So this is what we're going to do today. We're going to take time to wander the buildings and pray, and I've got three focuses I want to invite you into as we pray today, and I want you to do it with this posture. Not, Lord, I've got it all figured out, and I know how to pray these things over the buildings, but Lord, teach us to pray. So first of all, cleanse the buildings. There was an entity in there that's now not there. We want the buildings clean and fresh. People were in here yesterday sweeping, cleaning surfaces, wiping down windows, making it physically clean. Today we want to make it spiritually clean. This is not to say the school is the Antichrist that invited all of the demonic realm into our buildings. We're not saying that. But there were people in our buildings that were people. They're fallen. So they invite brokenness into the building. It's an organization that isn't part of alignment with the kingdom of God. So there's things that they do out of their worldview and in love, or their belief of love for the people around them, that don't align with what God wanted for our space. And so we get to go in and say, God, would you take out of here anything residual that doesn't honor you? It's a good practice for your homes, your workplaces, anywhere you go, to walk in and ask God to cleanse. It's a chance for spiritual warfare, for us to be reminded and attentive to the fact there is a spiritual war going on, and there is a battle in the world, but there's a battle in and over our campus. So this is a chance for us to grow in sensitivity. What are the sorts of things that God brings to mind in these spaces that may not have honored him that you can ask him to cleanse? And then it becomes an invitation to self-examination. God, if I'm going to ask you to cleanse these buildings, what is there in me that may need cleansing in order that these buildings would be used to honor you? I want to draw attention. A word I'll bring is division. Another word I'll bring is offense. I've been thinking about this a lot. I've been talking to our team about this. We prayed about it on Thursday night. We are in an election year One of the things that happens in an election year is a spirit of division and a spirit of offense is stirred up. You've noticed in a year like this, it's a lot more easy to get offended by people, and people get a lot more offended by you. That's part of that is our flesh and our brokenness, but part of that is the demonic realm uses times like this to antagonize, and if we're not careful, it will happen in the church. Full confession, the relationship between the church and the school hasn't always been good. There have been times where the church has been horribly unkind to the school. There's times where the school was just as bad back to the church. That's partnerships, right? That's a relationship. It doesn't always go well, but I just want you to be attentive as you're praying through there. There's been a spirit of division and offense in these buildings, and we want to ask God to take that away. Second one, you should know this word well by now, is consecrate. We want to consecrate the buildings. We spent a week in January praying and interceding, consecrating ourselves as the people of God to walk into reaccreditation. So we want to do the same things with the buildings. We're giving them back to God. Consecration is just to set them apart and declare that they are His. So in the middle building over here, there's a cork board in the corridor. There are some 3x5 cards. There's a piece of paper on the wall that says, give these buildings back to God. When you go in there, I want you to just stop for a moment and as part of the people of God, just consider it. Like, these buildings are ours. God, we give them back to you. These buildings were used by someone else. We give them back to you. Write down a statement of, God, I give them back to you, and just pin it onto the wall. We're going to corporately commit these buildings back to Him. And the last one, which I think is the most fun one, is contemplation. Contemplation spiritually means to gaze on the face of Jesus. So what I want to invite you to do is gaze on Jesus, be sensitive to His presence. In contemplation, we engage our imagination. And so I want you to use your imagination today as you walk through the building. I want you to pay attention to what stirs in you. What emotions? Oh, this is dirty. Oh, that's old. That's yucky. What are the things that get stirred? Oh, wow, we could do this in this space. Pay attention to those stirrings. And then here's how I want you to use your imagination the most. In consecration, we're asking God to take and fill the space. So with every space you walk into, I just want you to take a moment and imagine a giant faucet. The door's closed, you're going to drown in the room, right? Giant faucet is turned on, the doors are closed, the room is filling up with water. I just want you to imagine the Spirit filling the room and make the cry of your heart, God, fill this place as you walk from place to place. I want you to imagine, what might you do with this space? Like, I'm looking at this room, it's funkily shaped. What might God do here? Like, is this room, has God set it apart for a specific function? If He tells all of us the same thing, then the answer to that is yes, right? And what might He do? And then listen. Like, God, is there something you're saying? Maybe He'll put images in your mind. Maybe He'll stir up ideas. Maybe as you walk in a space, there's a scripture that starts like floating around your head. Maybe you walk into a room and you start thinking about people in the community or needs in your family and go, God, if you're bringing these people to mind, what is it about them that you might want to use this space to serve? Getting a little practical here. Here's a little picture. So the invitation is wander through the buildings and wonder what He might do. So here's the campus. So as you walk out those doors, you're looking at Bentley Street. Those red stars are where there's like a space on the wall to interact. So in every building, there's a little basket with some post-it notes and some colored pens. So invite number one is take the post-it notes and go into any room, stick any door. Like, hey, I feel like God is saying this over this room. Paint it blue. Stick it on the door. I feel like God is saying, this is for kids. Stick it on the door. I feel like God's saying. So if you feel God is saying things about specific rooms, take a post-it note, write down what you think, stick it on the door. Aside from that, make your way to each of these areas and just engage with the wall. It's just space. Grab a pen. There's prompts on the wall. Answer and response. The big one on the left, this is where the church used to gather. That's their old sanctuary. We've got a table in there with communion. So go in there, take communion. Don't take it alone. Gather with a couple of people around you. If you're in there alone, just grab someone else and say, hey, can we take this together? And take communion together. And we're just recommitting that place to God. Look, and Lauren did a beautiful job at Friday at the end of last month. We went in there and we worshiped together. and recommitted that place in worship to God. And so there are stations in the room. There are post-it notes that you can stick all over the doors. I'm going to stick, as I finish here, I'm going to put on the table out here, I've got some like prayer prompt prayer guides that if you're like, I have no idea how to do this, you can just grab it and kind of walk around the room and just follow the steps and use the examples that are there. Psalm 84, which we've been praying for a season, is on the back. So again, if you don't know how to pray, you don't have words to pray, just start reading Psalm 84 over the rooms that you walk into. And then I have 10 little things of oil. So if you're one of those people that feels comfortable anointing spaces, then grab a little tub of oil and just go around. And what are we doing with oil? There's nothing magical in oil. This is olive oil from the supermarket, right? There's nothing magical about it, but it represents Jesus. It represents the Spirit of God as he moves. So the oil is his Spirit. And what is, it's not magical, what is powerful is the oil does something prophetically by breaking through the earthly realm into the spiritual realm. And so with the oil, we anoint doorposts and we say things like, God, we set this apart for you that any person who walks through this door would encounter and be clothed with your Spirit. So if that's your jam, if that's your oil, grab oil. And put it on the doors. And then lastly, just grab some people. Do it. You're welcome to wander through on your own. This is a powerful thing if you can walk through with a couple of people and just as you feel led, pray out loud over the buildings. And then the final practical piece of information, there are some chairs sprinkled through the building close to all the entrances and in some of the key rooms. So if you're one of those people that's like, I can't walk very far, we've tried to space the chairs out so there's a space for you to stop and to sit. And so if you don't need the chairs, let them be used by the people that need the chairs. That would be really helpful. So, Lord, teach us to pray. I am not satisfied with things as they are. I'm not satisfied with my prayer life as it is. We are putting prayer at the center of our church. We're nowhere near what God has for us. So my invitation to you today is join me in this prayer as we walk from here forward. Lord, teach us to pray. Notice that the disciples didn't go, it wasn't one disciple saying, Lord, teach me to pray. It was them corporately saying, Lord, teach us to pray. So God, as we wander and as we dream and as we imagine and as we listen to you, God, would you clear our minds? Would you clear our hearts? Would you make us attentive? Would you be gracious to us by being bold and loud? Would you speak? Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. And Lord, teach us to pray. So yeah, when you're ready, I'll sit these on the table, head on over, wander and wonder.